the Eat, Dream, Do Guide. A quick disclaimer, because you know I keep it real. This book is self-published by Kelly Miller, that's me. Copyright 2025 Kelly Miller. Yes, it's officially copyrighted. Don't steal. Give credit where credit is due. Here's the fine print legalese. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means electronic, mechanical, photocopying, recording, or otherwise without the prior written permission of the author, except in the case of brief quotations embodied in reviews, articles, or social media shares with proper credit. This book is intended for personal use and inspiration. For questions about group use, reprints, or licensing, please contact kelly@eatdreamdo.com. Eat, Dream, Do is a pending trademark of Kelly Miller, designed and written with heart in the United States. Health disclaimer. This book is intended for informational and educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider before making any changes to your diet, health routine, or lifestyle. The author and publisher disclaim any liability for any outcomes resulting from the use of this information. If you do not wish to be bound by the above, you may return this book to the publisher for a refund. This book is not medical advice, business coaching, or a one-size-fits-all plan. It's a guide based on what's worked for me and the women I've worked with. You should always make choices that support your health, your family, and your stage of life. Test it, adjust it, make it yours. Oh, and this book has a few choice words, nothing too crazy or too many, but this is my fair warning if you're playing it around little ears. Before we begin, and we go any further, I want to pause. If you've already flipped a few pages and thought, eat, dream, do, okay, but this sounds a little fluffy, you're not wrong to question it. On the surface, three simple words can sound like a slogan. They can sound like live, laugh, love, energy. They can sound like I'm about to tell you to eat broccoli and magically fix your life. That's not what this is. This guide is not asking you to believe harder, try harder, or become a better version of yourself through sheer willpower. It's not a mindset book pretending biology doesn't exist, and it's definitely not a productivity plan disguised as performing wellness. So let me be very clear about what's actually happening here. First, we eat. You do not have a motivation problem. Most women who pick up this guide are already tired of doing things the same old way. They already know they should eat better. They already know something needs to change and are looking to improve their relationship with food. What they don't know is why it feels so hard. Now, I'm not a scientist, psychologist, or doctor, but the research is pretty clear on what's going on, so consider this. When your body is not getting what it needs and is undernourished, overstimulated, or running on stress hormones, your nervous system shifts into survival mode. It can feel like fight or flight mode. Like driving a car with no gas, you can try to get it to move, but it won't go anywhere. What if your body thinks there's a famine because you haven't eaten the nutrients you need? In that survival state, your brain prioritizes immediate safety over long-term thinking. Evolutionarily, when your body thinks there's a famine, it prioritizes immediate survival, putting resources to your heart rate and muscles for fast action to remove yourself from the risk. Everything you need to run from a predator and find food. It shuts down your prefrontal cortex, which is the front part of your brain that's responsible for long-term planning, deep thinking, visionary, and complex decisions. Planning shuts down. Clarity disappears. Decision-making feels heavy. Follow-through feels impossible. Insert the common brain fog. Maybe this explains food paralysis, feeling unsafe, not knowing where to start, or even the desire to learn. Not able to formulate a plan for dinner because the planning part of your brain is offline. It's not a lack of willpower, it's a biological state. You can't think your way out of it. You can't vision board your way through it. And you can't shame yourself into clarity and action. That's why eat comes first here. Eating real food doesn't fix everything, but because safety comes before vision, it solves for so much. Eating is a signal, not a rule. Food is not just energy for your body, it's biological permission. Eating real food calms and informs the nervous system. Eating nutritionally, regularly, and adequately sends a signal that says, we are safe. There is no famine. There is no emergency. Only after that signal is received can the part of your brain responsible for planning, imagining, and following through come back online. This is why the phrase, you can't dream on an empty tank, is not a metaphor. It's physiology. When blood sugar crashes and stress hormones rise, decision fatigue sets in. What we casually call brain fog is often underfueling plus stress colliding in real time. So, no, this book is not asking you to just eat perfectly. It's asking you to eat intentionally enough to restore biological capacity. You might be chemically suppressing your own survival instincts. Eating real food keeps your brain on. Next, dreaming. Why food unlocks the ability to dream, grounded in biology. There are two kinds of dreaming. This is something important that doesn't get talked about enough. The first is imaginative dreaming. That's hope, creativity, imagination. The ability to dream up ideas, possibilities, and futures in your head. Many women never lose this, even under extreme stress, while some do. The second is executive dreaming. That's the ability to plan, sequence, decide, and act. And this is the kind of dreaming that requires a regulated nervous system allowing action to happen. You may still be a dreamer at heart and feel completely stuck at the same time. That doesn't mean you lack ambition. It means your system, quite honestly, is overloaded. When you aren't fighting brain fog from processed sugar or a nutrient void diet, you finally have the mental clarity to remember what you enjoy. Nourishment allows survival mode to move aside so your dreams can come back into focus. You haven't lost your dreams. They're just chemically suppressed from taking action. I believe when you trust yourself to execute a recipe without panic, you prove to yourself you can handle new challenges in your work and other areas of life too. It starts by choosing a vegetable over a wrapper, which becomes setting boundaries in your relationships. Sounds crazy, but the science makes sense. Food becomes the safety signaling mechanism. The brain-gut connection and gut health science is deep and complex. Too complex for this book, so I'll jump right to the point. Change the fuel. Change the brain state. Access your genius. This guide is here to help your body support the dreams you already have and act. Finally, do. Doing comes last for a reason. Action is the final step, not the first. Once you have a regulated system and trust yourself. Doing is not about hustle, building a big life, or becoming someone new. It's about moving energy into action in whatever form matters to your life. Doing might look like setting a boundary. Doing might look like cooking one simple nutrient-dense meal that tastes amazing. Doing might look like resting without guilt. And yes, doing might look like building something bigger, but that's one expression, not the requirement. This guide does not demand you to do anything. It supports momentum for what you want in life. This guide is a starting point. It's meant to help you understand why you feel the way you do, reconnect you to your body from a place of safety, and give you simple frameworks to begin rebuilding your personal self-trust. You will be introduced to practical tools that remove decision fatigue, including a simple 9-square food system designed to take pressure off your brain so you can think about more than what to make for your next meal. And you will be reminded of something important. You have survived hard things before. Your body learned how to protect you. Now we teach it how to feel safe again in a busy, fast-paced, be superwoman kind of world. If at any point you realize you don't want to do this alone, that's exactly why the Eat Dream Do Club exists. This work is meant to be supported, not white-knuckled. This guide sets the stage. The path forward is something we walk together. A note from me, start here if you're with me. This isn't just a book, it's a guide. And like any good guide, I've included stories, side notes, and lived-in truths to help you through the journey, not just to show you the path, but to walk it with you. Because I've been in your shoes, probably even tripped over them a few times. This is my manifesto, my mission statement, my Jerry Maguire moment. Eat, Dream, Do is an industry disruptor. In health, in business, in success, and in all this dream life talk, there's one crucial piece I see missing over and over again. We're not feeding ourselves first. I don't just mean food. Though yes, food matters a lot. I mean real fuel, real nourishment, and real support. We're expected to dream big, do the work, and keep pushing forward, all while running on empty. It's backwards. Eat, Dream, Do flips that script. Because if you're exhausted, overwhelmed, and disconnected from your body, you're not going to build anything that lasts. You might get somewhere, but it won't feel good when you get there. Here, I wrote the simplest little digest guide of how it all fits together in three easy systems. Eat, Dream, Do. Like Jerry, I knew I couldn't keep playing the game the same way. I'm not sure who this will resonate with, but I know it works. If you've ever looked around and thought, there's got to be a better way, you're in the right place. I can't promise I'll show you the money, but I can show you what's been missing, and I can help you build it your way. So here it is, not perfect, but real. Enjoy the ride. I'll see you on the other side. With love, Kelly founder of Eat, Dream, Do. So, you picked up this book thinking maybe, just maybe, you'd finally figure out what to eat for dinner and maybe what to do with your life. No pressure, right? You're probably listening to this while eating a protein bar from your purse that you forgot was even there, scrolling social media and vision boards thinking you want to change your life, or as you're avoiding that bigger, more important thing you know you should be doing. I see you. I am you. Except now, I cook real food, go after my big wild dreams, live a life worth living, and know what the hell I'm doing on a Tuesday. Most weeks. I want to be clear, this book won't tell you to just meal prep, journal your way to your dreams, or wake up at 5 a.m. and meditate with a Himalayan salt lamp on your third eye. This is a blueprint for how to stop surviving your life and start enjoying it. Because let's face it, you've probably lost trust in so many things these days. And if you lost trust in your dreams and goals, there's only one way to get them back. Take control of how you care for yourself. Here's the deal. You don't need another thing to do. You need a system that works with your actual life. You need a way to eat better, dream bigger, and take real action without losing your mind, or becoming that girl who suddenly won't shut up about chia seeds or that new online course. Welcome to Eat, Dream, Do. The life you're craving is built right here, starting with you in your kitchen. Over the next few chapters, I'm going to break it down like this. First, we eat because you need nutrient-dense foods to feed your body, mind, and soul. Then we dream, not the vision board kind, the real kind, the ones that make you excited to wake up in the morning and make you whisper, "I can do this." Finally, we do, because magic happens when you get clear on what you want and commit to getting it. And we're not starting tomorrow. We're starting today. This book isn't going to fix your life with one quick read, but it will help you remember who the hell you are and give you the path to live like it. Now let's open the fridge, open your mind, and get to work, because you're hungry for more than just dinner. Let's begin. You can't dream on an empty tank, and you can't live your purpose while starving your body. Kelly Miller, put it on a mug, post it on your mirror, tattoo it on your soul, and yes, you can quote me on that. Part 1. Eat. My WTF moment, aka the day my daughter cried over chicken nuggets. It was 2008. I was about 30 years old, standing in front of the fridge, doors wide open like a woman possessed, mad at the world, and completely convinced that mac and cheese was ruining my kid. My daughter was almost 10, and something was off. Not in a scary way, just different from what I remember 10 being like. More emotional, more irritable, more anxious. Her body was changing faster than I expected. She was already showing signs of puberty. And that's when I really lost it, because I didn't hit full bloom until I was 16. 16. And here she was, not even 10, with boobs and mood swings and hormones I wasn't ready for. She was a whole new kind of kid, living in a whole new kind of world. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew one thing for sure. I wanted more for her. I wanted growing up to be easier, calmer, and for her to feel ready for what's next, because whatever that something was, it didn't feel right. Like any good millennial mom in the early 2000s, I did what we all do when life doesn't make sense. I Googled. My conclusion? The problem is what they're putting in our food. I went down the rabbit hole of milk hormones, high fructose corn syrup, processed chicken, and the lies about cereal. I didn't know what I was looking for. I just knew something in our food system felt broken. And if my daughter was struggling because of it, it's now my job to fix it. Naturally, I did what any reasonable woman in a full-body panic would do. I went grocery shopping. Looking back, maybe it was my nervous system crashing because I wasn't eating enough protein. Maybe I was having an underfed biological moment. Was my body trying to protect me? Even if the logic was half-baked. I came home with a bag full of fake chicken nuggets, swapped the cow's milk for almond, tossed the Lunchable in the trash, and announced, "We're going vegan." Not in a calm, educated way. In a full, I just binge-watched Super Size Me, Food, Inc., Food Matters, and Jamie Oliver yelling about how chicken nuggets pink sludge is made, kind of way. You remember that era when food documentaries were everywhere. Watch even one, and suddenly it feels like the entire food system is out to kill you slowly. I wasn't trying to join a movement. I was trying to be a good mom. I didn't know what I didn't know yet. I just knew something felt off, and I didn't want to get it wrong. In a slightly dramatic attempt to fix it all, I declared, "New house rules, we're going vegan now, effective immediately." She burst into tears. Literal tears over the loss of her mac and cheese in microwave cups and the sad little soy nuggets that didn't even taste like chicken. She thought I'd lost it, Honestly, so did I. I quickly learned to not focus on one label or dietary theory, and no, going vegan didn't last very long. Underneath the chaos, there was a whisper of something bigger. I was waking up to the idea that the food we eat does matter. I didn't want to keep handing over my health or hers to the drive-through window or a brightly colored box in aisle 7. That moment, with the crying kid and the confusing food labels, wasn't my worst. It was my wake-up call. Now, before you come at me with, "she's her own person and you are yours," or "that's just how kids are these days," and all the valid points about personality and biological differences. I hear you. I really do. But this half-baked, emotionally fueled, barely researched moment, it changed everything. Even if I didn't have all the science or the strategies yet, I had something better. A gut instinct telling me it was time to pay attention. Because here's the truth I needed to hear. When you start with food, you don't just change your body, you reclaim your power, you stop outsourcing your energy, your choices, and your worth to boxes, bars, and busy schedules. You begin to lead your life again. It starts in your kitchen. Wait, it actually starts with what you put in your shopping cart. I'll come back to this. That moment didn't give me a perfect plan. It gave me questions. Maybe you've had the same thoughts too. Maybe you've already tried to clean your food choices up a bit. You've bought the non-dairy milk. You've swapped out the crackers. You tried fake meat or went full on non-GMO. You've stood in Whole Foods holding a $9 box of gluten-free, something or other, wondering, is this it? Is this the thing that's finally going to make me feel better? And maybe it helped for a while, until life got busy again, until you got tired again, until that old story came back. See, you can't even stick to this. Here's what I've learned. It's not about sticking to it. It's about coming back to it again and again and again, until it becomes part of you. Because the truth is, food is foundational, not in a trendy influencer way. In a real life, this impacts how you feel kind of way. You need a good relationship with food, not a meal plan. A relationship like a good friend, one that bails you out when life gets messy. Food isn't just fuel. It's chemistry, it's information, it's emotional. It's synergy, a dynamic relationship between what you eat and how you think, feel, move, and show up. It's the way nutrients speak to your body in layers, activating your brain, calming your nerves, balancing your hormones, and feeding your energy all at once. Nearly every health theory, Ayurveda to Atkins, paleo to plant-based, at its core, promotes one key truth: eat real food. No matter the label or lifestyle, the common ground rule is whole, unprocessed food. That's our entry point. Real food is where we begin. This is your food journey. And like any good journey, you need a starting point, a place to reflect and observe. Let's create the map and the lifestyle you want. Take a few moments to reflect, without judgment, just curiosity. What does a typical day of eating look like for you right now? Where are your meals coming from? Your stove, a plastic clamshell, or a shelf-stable box with heating instructions? How do you feel after you eat? Energized, sluggish, satisfied, still hungry? Is food something you enjoy or something you rush through? If you're wondering where to begin your food journey, I suggest a starting point deeply rooted in real food and the 80-20 approach and lifestyle. What's the 80-20 lifestyle? It means making intentional choices, most of the time, that fuel your body and support your goals, while leaving room for joy, flexibility, and real life. You focus on getting it right most of the time, not all the time. I like to think of it as choosing on a good, better, best scale. Sometimes you choose the best possible option. Sometimes you go with better because that's what works today. And sometimes good enough is exactly what keeps the momentum going. It's about making progress that sticks and choices that still taste like your life. Bonus points if you're sipping from one of my favorite mugs while you think it through. 8020mugs.com. They're how I start my day with intention and a reminder that progress matters more than perfection. Eat more of the good stuff, most of the time. When you choose food that comes from the earth, not a factory, and you leave room for joy, ease, and living your life, that is where lasting change takes root. And here's something else to consider, something that changed everything for me. Ask yourself, what is a healthy meal? If you think a meal must look a certain way with a balanced plate, perfect protein-carb-veg ratio, like a meat, starch, vegetable, and sauce, you're not alone. We've all been fed that image for years in every piece of marketing we've grown up with. Don't even get me started on the whole breakfast is the most important meal of the day saying, spoiler alert, when you pull up the research, that gem of a saying came straight from Kellogg's in the early 1900s to sell more cereal. Even if its original purpose was well-intended, it was also shared solely to sell processed cereal, and it sure did. How about this mindset shift? A meal is anything that nourishes you and carries you forward. A bowl of roasted veggies and leftover chicken? Meal. A smoothie with purposefully chosen ingredients? Meal. Hummus, carrots, an apple, and a boiled egg? Still a meal. Leftover soup? Yep, a meal. Real meals don't have to be picture perfect. Eat what nourishes you when it makes sense to you. Meals aren't bound by the clock, they're bound by what your body needs. Breakfast food, snack food, lunch food, dinner food. These mealtime categories have been skewed and shaped by marketing, often filled with highly processed, nutrient-lacking options. Breakfast is the first meal after rest, food that breaks your fast. It's not defined by cereal, waffles, bagels, egg sandwiches, or whatever's in the breakfast aisle. It's a daily opportunity to start with intention, not a glucose roller coaster ride you just stepped on from a poorly made bowl of oatmeal. A snack is a smaller, supportive bite between larger meals. Aim for fresh and quality over fried, sugary, or shaped like a rectangle. Think fruit and nut combos, vegetables, a boiled egg, something real that keeps you going, not crashing. Lunch is traditionally midday and less formal. Keep it healthy to keep your energy flowing. Dinner is often considered the main meal of the day in many cultures. But neither lunch nor dinner needs to follow a set time or structure. You make them yours. Let your meals fit your life, not the other way around. You're allowed to eat a salad at sunrise or scrambled eggs at sunset. There are no rules, only rhythm. But it's not just about the food. It's about you. You matter. And food is how you feed her. The version of you that deserves to feel good in her body and in her life. Not just for a vacation, not just for a goal, but every single day. When you begin to eat, not perfectly, but intentionally, things start to shift. Not in a dramatic Pinterest before and after kind of way, but in that subtle, powerful, oh, this feels different kind of way. Your mornings feel easier. Your afternoons don't crash so hard. You stop snapping. You stop numbing. You stop fighting your way to the end of the day, because suddenly, you're not running on fumes. You're feeding yourself like someone who matters, and your body is feeling it, signaling safety. It's like tending a garden. You don't yell at it for wilting. You water it. You give it sunlight. You make sure it's rooted in good soil. You trust that with a little care, it will come back to life. You flourish when you're fed well. Feeding yourself well isn't indulgent. It's not a luxury. It's how your life takes root. Because when you nourish yourself intentionally, you build deep, life-affirming trust in your own hands, your own choices, your own worth. That trust, it grows quietly, steadily, into a solid foundation of strength that can carry you wherever you're meant to go. How we got so disconnected. Somewhere along the way, I believe, we somehow got the idea that nutrition only counts if it comes with a label. That if it doesn't have a protein count, a fiber claim, or some flashy marketing copy, it must not count. Pause a minute and think about this. There's an entire industry built around that confusion, designed to help you track, scan, and calculate your way to health without ever actually teaching you how to feed yourself in healthy ways. Protein powders, gummy vitamins, powdered greens, macros, calories, points, apps. We've been taught how to measure food, but not how to make it. We know we're supposed to eat more fruits and vegetables. We hear it everywhere. Eat the rainbow. Add more greens. But most of us are disconnected from what that looks like in real life or where to even start making it happen. Can we take a green powder instead? Is a three-ingredient smoothie the fix? And sometimes, honestly, it feels like, yes, I ate broccoli. Now where's my gold star? Somewhere in that mess, we forgot how to do the most basic thing. Eat real food. Cook real food. Trust real food. I ask women all the time about their healthy food habits, and they almost always tell me the same thing. We weren't taught how to feed ourselves with real food. Most of us weren't even taught how to stock our kitchens with real food. We're taught what boxes, bottles, and bags to buy with food-like things inside. If it doesn't come with a recipe, a barcode, or a meal plan telling us exactly what to grab at the store and what to do with it, we freeze. What ingredients do I even need? Do I need a chart for this? How do I even cook that? What do I pair this with? And maybe the voice inside you is saying, okay, I hear you, but how? That's the feeling I want you to lean into. That little flicker of, I want better. That little whisper of, maybe it doesn't have to be this hard. P.S. You have everything you need to start. You're smart enough, capable enough, worthy enough. You just haven't been shown how simple real nourishment can feel. Once you feel it, you'll wonder why you ever settled for less. Eating real food isn't complicated. Start by adding in more grown things. Foods with roots, not barcodes. Vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, grains, and beans. Then add in eggs, meat, and seafood. Food that looks like food. And no, you don't have to eat perfectly. It becomes a daily choice to stop outsourcing your health to products designed to keep you buying instead of thriving. Because this is where real change starts. Moving from chaos to clarity. From autopilot to intention. Stop putting yourself last. Start putting yourself in charge. You don't need more willpower. You need more nourishment. Recognizing it's time to change is one thing, but knowing where to start, that's everything. You don't need another complicated plan. You don't need to fix yourself first. You need a hand reaching out and saying, here, start here. If you're feeling that feed me moment right now, good. It means you're waking up to what's been missing. You don't have to figure it all out today. Please don't try and overhaul your life overnight. Stay awake to this mindset and make simple changes each day. I'll give you the simple stuff to get you started right here in these pages. When you're ready for more, you'll find deeper support waiting at eatdreamdo.com. I've pulled together my best, most loved, no-stress resources to help you lean back into real food without needing a nutrition degree or spending 5 hours meal prepping. A quick reminder and a few stories. These stories are the threads that connect it all together for me. And if you're listening to this book right now, I believe there's a reason for that. Everything happens for a reason. It's one of my life mottos, and you'll see it woven all throughout this book in the choices, the pivots, and the permission to start fresh anytime. When you feed yourself well, everything else starts to change, built on life-affirming trust in yourself. This is when the real shift happens. Feeding yourself is only the beginning. At first, it feels like food choices, choosing better meals, cooking at home more often, swapping one thing for another. But it's never just about the food. The moment you start feeding yourself better, you start feeding your strength. You start building the part of you that can stand taller, speak louder, and ask for more. Sometimes that means leaving old habits behind. Sometimes it means leaving whole chapters of your life behind too. And sometimes it's the foundation you don't even realize you're building until life asks you to fight for something even bigger. This next part of my story isn't really about food. It's about what happens when you finally decide to bet on yourself and your world shifts because of it, even if it takes longer than you imagined. You're worth every healthy bite it takes to come home to yourself. The key to this work is a personal relationship with your own well-being. Healthy cooking led to my divorce. When food gave me a voice and my life took a different path. My role in life, a few years after that kid crying aha moment, found me raising a preteen while managing a fast-paced household with my deal-seeking self-employed boyfriend who always seemed to find ways to keep things super interesting and chaotic. Between motherhood, helping manage his businesses, cleaning up after everyone, selling houses, flipping cars, and figuring out what the hell was going to feed us every day, there wasn't exactly room for much else. Least of all, my own dreams. Wait, that's not exactly true. We tried to find a business that lit me up while keeping up, but we, more like I, got distracted time and time again. With all the new foods and recipe testing going on in the spare time I did have, culinary school called to me, specifically the Natural Gourmet Institute in New York City, sadly now closed. But let's be real, packing up and heading to Manhattan wasn't happening with a sixth grader and a full plate at home. I even considered commuting via the park and ride bus. Nope, not a good plan. Like most women stuck between a dream and running her kid to practice, I bought all the books. Dozens of them on food, cooking, and holistic health. They piled up next to my bed, barely touched. Time was short, money was tight, and spending $15 on raw cashews to test out vegan cheese recipes that might taste like regret? Not exactly practical. Still, something had to give. We were always on the go, and those problematic health issues were starting to creep in. We didn't want to turn to pills and prescriptions. That's when I found and joined the health coaching program at IIN, Institute for Integrative Nutrition, a training program with mentors and speakers on almost every facet of wellness, bringing our awareness to it all. IIN didn't promote just one way of eating. They introduced over 100 different dietary theories, and our household probably tried most of them. Our lives started to shift. The health issues cleared up. Weight dropped, energy came back, it worked. The boyfriend's mother, however, was less than impressed. She accused me of starving him when he reached a healthy BMI. This is the same woman who once looked at me like I had three heads because I baked homemade cookies on Thanksgiving morning. "Just bake the ones that come in a tube," she said. Never mind that hers gave us heartburn and mine didn't. But sure, clearly, I was the problem. Yes, that specific head-shaking moment had to make this book and my story. Moving on. This is just one example of the disconnect, and the truth is, there will always be someone who pushes back when you choose to live differently. Choosing health, choosing the 80-20 lifestyle, choosing yourself, it's not always easy. It often feels inconvenient, and it sometimes makes other people uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means you're on your own path, and that path is worth walking, even if you have to walk it a little differently than everyone else. Somewhere in the middle of all that experimenting, something came alive in me. I turned those experiments into grocery shopping tips and cooking methods no one else was sharing. Food Network was my background noise. Bloggers became my new mentors. A DSLR was purchased. That spark turned into focused action. A cookbook, website, and 45 YouTube videos later, I was planning my first signature course and cookbook launch. Meanwhile, the third business we started just for me quietly fell apart. Not because it couldn't work, but because my heart wasn't in it. The truth, I didn't want to do it. I wanted to cook. Food gave me energy. It gave me joy. It gave me me again. I had a voice, a direction. And finally, momentum, plus I had the health stats to prove it. Then one day he came home, looked at me over fish tacos, and said, "We need to talk." Boom. Life changed in one conversation. So no, healthy cooking didn't cause a divorce. And since we weren't married, it technically couldn't. Healthy cooking sure as hell gave me more than just food for my body. It gave me direction. Once you start eating better, you start feeling better. Once you start feeling better, you start seeing better. And from my experience, once you start seeing things clearly, there's no going back. What came next? Well, let's just say it wasn't a straight line. It was a journey. Yes, I say that with every dramatic vowel it deserves. The kind of journey that started in the kitchen moved me through many interesting twists and turns until I eventually asked myself, "Now that you know the way forward, what do you want to do with this one wild and precious life?" That's when food became the path. What brought you here? Maybe you're wondering how eating and nutrition got so complicated. Because chances are, you weren't taught to cook with joy. You were taught to get dinner on the table. Fast, cheap, easy. That's the goal, right? If you grew up in a family where food was fresh, intentional, and nourishing, consider yourself one of the lucky few. Eating real food, real meals, and real connection at the dinner table. That's the exception now, not the norm. We didn't get here because someone made one bad choice. We got here through decades of change. Changes that shifted how we eat, how we live, and how we see food. Until the early 1900s, women were the heartbeat of the home, growing food, cooking from scratch, feeding families with whatever they had. To oversummarize, then came the wars, and women stepped up. They went to work, ran households, kept life going while the world turned upside down, and after that, families were exhausted. So when the next wave of solutions showed up, boxed meals, frozen dinners, instant everything, it wasn't laziness, it was survival. The world had changed. Convenience started looking like freedom. Microwaves, TV trays, family dinners replaced by sitcoms and fast food. Eating in your car became cool. Each decade, a little less connection, a little less time, a little more processed. And honestly, I don't blame our moms or grandmothers or dads or grandfathers. They did what they could with what they had. But somewhere in that scramble to save time and do it all, we lost our rhythm. We lost our relationship with food. Now here we are. It's 2026. Women in their 40s, 50s, and beyond, for the first time, learning how to cook with real food, planting gardens, reading labels, swapping out chemicals. Not because someone told us to, but because we're choosing better. I mean, we're making sourdough bread, growing kitchen gardens in raised beds, and some even have chickens in their fancy housing developments. We must be craving something real. We're not just hungry for food, we're hungry for meaning. We're finally learning that the path forward doesn't start with takeout, it starts in your pantry. And if the path begins on the plate, then maybe it's time to ask, how do we eat healthy? The 5 steps to eat healthy. Real food, real life, real results. Step 1, eat real food. Whole, unprocessed, from the earth stuff. If your great-grandma wouldn't recognize it, maybe reconsider. Step 2, buy real food. If it's not in your cart, it won't be in your body. Set yourself up to win. Shop like someone who wants to feel good. Step 3, think plus plan, just a little. No spreadsheets, no stress. Just a loose plan so you're not stuck hangry and guessing at 6 p.m. Step 4, cook and enjoy real food. Use your hands, use your senses. Make it simple, make it delicious, then actually sit down, chew slowly, and taste it. Step 5, feel good. That's the point. More energy, more clarity, more you. Yes, it really can be that simple. The Whole Foods Tic-Tac-Toe Board, the last meal planner you'll ever need. Start now. No need to overthink it. Just start. You'll see how quickly this clicks. Grab a piece of paper. Nothing fancy. Just something that can handle a few scribbles. Draw a big tic-tac-toe board. Two lines down, two across, so you have 9 blank squares in front of you. Here's how we're going to fill them in. Top row, perishables. Start with the fresh stuff. This row is all about the good-for-you items that go bad fastest, so buy what you are going to eat and use them first. Leafy greens, spinach, arugula, kale, romaine, herbs, vegetables, peppers, onions, cucumbers, carrots, broccoli, fruits, berries, apples, citrus, bananas. Pro tip, start your mental meal prep with the good stuff while shopping the perimeter of the store first. You'll naturally fill your cart with the fresh whole foods before even hitting the middle aisles. Middle row, non-perishables. These are your pantry heroes, shelf-stable and easy to keep on-hand nutrient-dense powerhouses. Nuts and seeds, almonds, cashews, chia, hemp, sunflower. Grains, rice, oats, quinoa, farro, beans and legumes, black beans, lentils, chickpeas. Bottom row, protein. Insert air quotes here. Yes, the catch-all category that usually means animal, but honestly deserves a better name. Eggs, seafood, salmon, shrimp, clams, lobster, meat, chicken, beef, pork. Note, if you're vegetarian, vegan, or just feeling a little grossed out by the word meat or animals as a food group, edit, skip, or repurpose this row entirely. You won't hurt my feelings. Now you've got a 9-cell table in front of you. Start filling it in with what you want, what you need, what you're craving, and what's in season. If a specific meal is on your mind, jot it down at the bottom to remember your plan. You'll start to see connections quickly. Want to work backwards? Flip it. At the bottom of your paper, write down 5 meals you want to make this week. Then scan your grid and fill in the necessary ingredients that belong in each category. You'll end up with a grocery list and a loose plan all built around whole foods that fuel you. This little system has reformed every grocery trip I've taken since 2013. It's the foundation of my cookbook, my cooking techniques, and my sanity. Most importantly, it reminds me every single time I use it to put more real food in the shopping cart and on the plate. Since you're listening to this, you can't screenshot it right now. Hopefully, you can visualize and draw the chart. If not, you can find it in the additional material that goes along with this audio. Print it, bookmark it. Whatever you do, keep it handy. Keep this chart visible. Fridge, phone, grocery list folder. This tool is meant to guide you back to real food, especially when your brain is fried and your fridge is empty. And maybe help you avoid the cracker aisle while you're at it. Feeding yourself well is the foundation for the life you want to create. The path begins with what's on your plate. Your healthy eating hack starts here. Listen, I know what it's like to stand in a grocery store, pushing a cart with zero plan and even less energy, hoping something inspiring magically appears between the kale and the frozen peas. That's why I created this meal planner. What you're looking at is more than just a meal planner. It's a mental map, a visual nudge, a no-excuses, real food reminder that helps you build a kitchen and life you actually feel good in. This tic-tac-toe-style grid is designed to help you think in real food, not boxes. It gets you back to the perimeter of the grocery store, where the colorful, crunchy, and crave-worthy ingredients live. The core 9 categories are there. The produce, greens, veggies, fruit, shelf-stable. Nuts and seeds, beans, grains. The protein, eggs, seafood, and meat. Then comes the fun part, 5 spots to plug in actual meals. Mix, match, freestyle, repeat. Add a green to every meal, try a new grain. Swap a boxed meal for something fresh and fabulous, map it out. It's all here to help you. Add in more real food. Shop with a purpose. Plan just enough to keep it simple. Cook with confidence. And feel really damn good doing it. But here's the thing. Knowing what to buy is only half the story. The real magic happens when you know what to do with those foods once they're in your kitchen. There are only about 3 core techniques you need to get dinner on the table. 6 if you want to get fancy and earn the title of pro-level home cook. Once you can look at a bunch of ingredients and know how to chop them, roast them, sauté them, or throw them into a one-pot situation that makes sense, you're on your way. Suddenly, those grocery cart choices turn into meals that are easy, craveable, and make you feel good. Let me know when your texts with friends start pivoting to, "What are you making tonight?" There's a fun little phenomenon that happens when women start sharing this work. Real food, real energy, real conversations, and real support. The 6 easy ways to cook whole foods. Real food doesn't say, "Hi, I'm broccoli. You can eat me freshly cleaned and chopped, steam me in a little water, saute me with some broth, or roast me with garlic and sea salt, and hey, toss in a splash of lemon juice if you're feeling bold." Nope. They just sit there in the produce aisle, looking earthy and full of potential, while you wonder, "Do I even know how to use this?" That's why I made it simple. How great would it be to look at your real whole food choices and know what you can do with them before they hit your cart? So you actually use them. So you feel good about feeding yourself. So dinner doesn't feel like a pop quiz every night. These 6 cooking techniques, chop, cook, bake, blend, juice, and chill, are all you need. Cooking confidence starts here. They help you pick up any whole food and know exactly what to do with it. So you use what you buy, feel good in the kitchen, and keep it simple. Let's break them down. Chop. Eat it raw. Chop it, dip it, enjoy it fresh. Cook. On the stovetop with a pan, pot, boiled or sauteed, heat changes everything. Bake. Some things are better roasted or baked. You'll know because they get sweeter, crispier, or cozier after time in the oven. Blend. Using a mixer, blender, small or large. Soups, pestos, dressings, smoothies. Blend it smooth and stretch its use. Juice. Great for those times your fridge is full and your energy is low. Fresh juice is a one way to use produce quickly and boost nutrients. Chill, freeze it, pickle it, marinate it, chill it, and give it a whole new purpose by cooling things down. These 6 techniques are the foundation I teach in every kitchen workshop, coaching session, and healthy cooking program. Because once you know what to do with real food, you stop letting it rot in the back of your fridge, you stop wasting money, you start making meals that nourish you, fast, easy, and made by you. This is how you build rhythm. This is how real food becomes real life. This is how you go from overwhelmed to empowered in your kitchen. You're nourishing the body. Now let's feed the vision. Let's recap and get real. Step 1, eat. You learned how to feed yourself like someone who matters. You reconnected with real food without the guilt, the grind, or the guesswork. You're building a rhythm, not a rigid plan, and you're leaning into it. Do you feel it? That's the shift from chaos to clarity. Now it's time for step 2. If food is the path, where is it taking you? Because once your body is fueled, your mind starts asking bigger questions. Not just, what's for dinner? But what do I want from this life? What am I here to do, to build, to become? That's where we're headed next. Let's get clear. Let's get honest. Let's finally give your dreams a seat at the table. Food opened the door. Now it's time to walk through it. If you're ready for shortcuts that support your goals, I've got you. I'll show you how to stock a pantry with healthy choices, find the spices you love, and stretch your budget and your time because we're still busy people. And life doesn't always slow down just because we want to eat better. You can find my healthy whole food guide, cookbooks, custom tools, community, and recipes all in one place. EatDreamDo.com. You don't have to figure this out alone. Part 2. Dream. A life worth waking up for. You dream all the time. In your sleep. In the car. In the shower, in the quiet moments between responsibilities, your mind is always sketching pictures of what could be better, bigger, different. The problem is not dreaming. The problem is what happens to those dreams once real life gets loud. They get buried under grocery lists, drowned out by meetings, interrupted by text messages and laundry piles and bills that need paying. We start to tell ourselves, maybe later, maybe someday, maybe when I finally catch up. But later never comes, and someday is not a plan. Dreams are not meant to sit quietly in the background. They're meant to lead you forward. They're meant to shape the life you wake up for, not just the one you fall asleep to. The next part of this guide is about listening to what you already know you want. It's about giving your dreams a seat at the table. It's about learning how to turn what if into what is. You don't need a perfect plan right now. You only need to believe this. If you can dream it, you can build it, inspired by Walt Disney. And it all starts right here. Before you dream bigger, know where you are. Everyone dreams, sometimes without even noticing it, in those quiet moments when the world finally stops asking for things. Not everyone knows what to do with a dream once it shows up. Not everyone knows how to hold on to it, believe they deserve it, and start turning it into something real. Life's a lot, right? You've been doing your best to hold it all together, balancing what's expected, what's urgent, and what's left of you at the end of the day. You want to feel better in your body. You want food that nourishes you, not just fills the space between deadlines. You want to feel like you're doing something that matters. But lately, knowing what you want feels blurry. You can't quite name it, so you keep pushing it off for later when things calm down, when the schedule clears, when the real you comes back. Or maybe you're the opposite. You've got big ideas, too many. You have Pinterest boards, saved reels, and notebooks full of plans. You believe it's possible. You've seen others do it, and you know you're meant for something more. But somehow, just after you start, you trip over the how and stumble before ever getting to the finish line. The energy fizzles, the overwhelm creeps in. You keep working, but it doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere. If you find yourself wondering what your purpose is and find yourself asking your friends, is this all there is? Do we ever catch a break? Here's what I need you to hear. There is no wrong version of where you are. There is no shame in survival. There is no shame in dreaming too much. There is no shame in not knowing what you really want. There is something waiting for you, if you crave it. Clearing the path to your dream life gets a whole lot easier when you stop judging where you are and start getting curious about what's next. So wherever you are, quiet or fiery, numb or lit up, you're in the right place. And you're right on time. Let's take what's flickering inside you and start to name it. Because building a life you love starts with loving yourself enough to believe you deserve it. What do you even want? It's okay if you don't know yet. It's okay if the answer feels too big or too small. The only rule is to start listening. But first, a story. The day I stopped waiting for someday. It happened during the only Reiki session I've ever had thus far. She showed up at my house, carrying a folding lawn chair, like she was about to camp out in my living room. We set up by the fireplace. I laid back, not knowing what to expect. I just knew something inside me was stuck, and I was willing to try anything to shake it loose. She asked me gently, "What do you want?" Without hesitation, the words fell out of my mouth. "I want someone to love me unconditionally and take care of me even though I don't need him to. I know I can take care of myself. I want a partner, someone who shares the same business and life goals and wants to work at them with me, but he can do his own things too, I guess." I still remember how she paused. She looked me straight in the eyes, calm but firm, and said, "Well, that's why you don't have it. You're confusing the universe." She smiled and explained it like this. Imagine the universe or your God as a giant big box store for your dreams. Anything you want, anything you dream, plan, think about, it can be yours. The laws of attraction do work. You ask, you believe, you allow it to come. The only thing you can't control is timing. But if you can conceive it, it's available. It's sitting on a shelf somewhere, waiting to be claimed by you. Unless you confuse the order. When you say you want something, then say you don't need it, or you're fine without it. The universe gets mixed signals. And when that happens, it quietly picks up the thing you wanted, which was ready to be delivered to you, and puts it right back on the shelf, not out of punishment, out of clarity. Because you aren't sure you really want it. So let's bring some science to this moment. Years later, I can do that. In the moment, it felt very woo and out of reach, but I believed. The reticular activating system, that's our brain's bouncer, it filters what gets through. When we send mixed signals, our brain filters out opportunities. It's not that the universe put it back on the shelf. It's that my brain literally couldn't see it. That image, as she described it, stopped me cold. Because I realized all the times I told myself, I want more. I want a different life. I want to be loved, supported, seen. I also whispered, but I can handle it alone. But it's not that important. But maybe I'm asking for too much. I was confusing the universe. I was confusing myself. And maybe you are too. Now, let me ask you the same thing she asked me. Are you confusing the universe? Are you secretly telling yourself it's selfish? That you should just be grateful for what you have and not ask for more? That you need to shrink your dreams down to fit what seems reasonable? Gratitude and self-love are key, but so is clarity. You can honor where you are and still ask for more. What have you done to get clear on your dreams, your goals, and the life you want to live? If you do not get clear, your dreams stay on the shelf. Not because you aren't worthy, not because you aren't capable, but because clarity is how you place the order. You don't have to know how it will happen. You only need to be willing to ask for it. Fully, clearly, with love, without apology. The universe can deliver only what you are brave enough to order. What are you finally ready to ask for? And if you're wondering if any of this really works, let me tell you. Not long after that Reiki session, I met the man who would become my person. I didn't know it then, but when he walked into my life, something deep inside whispered, "Pay attention. Here's what I haven't told you yet." After the big breakup I mentioned earlier, I sat down and wrote a list. Not a fluffy vision board list, a real one, of who I wanted to attract, how I wanted to feel, and the kind of life I wanted to live. When he showed up, it was like the universe tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You rang? So, if you take nothing else from this chapter, let it be this. Get clear." Because when you finally know exactly what you're looking for, you'll want to recognize it when it arrives. And when it does, please, friend, pay attention. Trust this. Clarity moves things. Confusion shelves them. We don't want your dreams stuck on shelves or back burners, not boxed up for later, not silenced by logic, not paused for everyone else's comfort. We want your dreams out in the open, glowing, growing, becoming. This is your time to name them and let them rise. Here we go. Remember, before the vision board, there's dinner. Start designing the life you say you want. Let me ask you again, what do you want? Not just the easy stuff, not just what you think is realistic, but the kind of life that would make you feel proud, peaceful, and fully alive. Take out some paper, grab your favorite pen, let's start sorting it all out. If you want to build a dream life, you must know what's in it. Use the prompts below to get clear. These are the areas where most women carry quiet, unmet dreams, and I think it's the perfect time to turn the volume up. Intellectual growth. What topics light you up? What do you want to learn, master, read about, or finally explore? Romantic relationships. How do you want to feel in love? What kind of connection do you crave? What patterns need to change so that real intimacy can take root? Spiritual growth. Where do you find meaning? Do you want to reconnect with a practice, a belief, a presence in your life? What grounds you when everything else feels chaotic? Health and fitness. What does it look like to feel good in your body, not just physically, but energetically? What does a nourished, strong, vibrant version of you feel like? Family life. What kind of relationships do you want with your family? What role do you want to play in that dynamic, now and going forward? Adventure and experiences. What's been on your someday list for way too long? What do you want to do, see, taste, or try before another year passes? House and home. How do you want your space to feel? What kind of energy, comfort, or aesthetic speaks to the version of you you're growing into? Business and career. What's the work that feels meaningful to you? What would you love to spend your time doing, even if it doesn't look like what you're doing now? Friendship and social life. Who do you want around you? What kinds of conversations, community, and fun do you crave more of? Financial growth. What kind of financial freedom would change your life? What do you want money to do for you, and are your actions aligned with that desire? Clarity makes the universe and you move. Time to get clear. The act of writing it down begins the process of calling it in. So don't filter it. Don't shrink it. Say what you want. You are not lost. You are not late. You are standing at the beginning of something new. Breathe, then keep going. When the detour was the path. At the start of 2020, I had just left a role that was never supposed to be demanding. A simple, low-key gig managing an active 7,500-member Facebook group. It was meant to be a short-term bridge while I juggled freelance jobs like building websites, graphic design, and content creation for other small business owners. But being that group's manager slowly turned into a tiny obsession because I was good at it, the kind of good that made it hard to stop, even when it started taking way more than it gave. I showed up every day, I helped people feel seen, I held space, and I burned out. Quietly, completely. My family was over it. Weekend dinners happened with my phone in hand. Late nights blurred into early mornings, with messages always waiting for me to answer. But I kept telling myself it was worth it. I was learning. I was in the room and on a pretty cool team, until the energy shifted. The leader and I drifted apart. The alignment cracked, and I realized something that would change how I worked from that point on. I only want to build businesses with women I could call a friend. Not everyone on the team understood that in the moment, but the ones who left later, they did. After I stepped away, I was ready to direct my energy into something of my own. The cookbook I'd been dreaming of. The fresh start I needed after pouring into someone else's business with my heart. I cried when 2020 shut everything down. Grocery shopping was unbearable, so shooting photos of healthy, glorious foods felt like a ridiculous uphill battle. Since screen time became my coping mechanism, I started a free Facebook group. It was my way of staying connected with the women I met in that community who said, "Don't disappear on us." Since we were all stuck at home, craving structure and community. I hosted Wellness Wednesdays, stepping into my truest self as a health and business coach, going live every week for years. We covered everything from eating for your mood to content marketing. And in between those lives, I was creating workbooks to help members turn ideas into action. That's when the Dream Life Journal was born. Not just a workbook, a map, a way to name what you really want and start taking steps toward it. As a self-proclaimed dreamer, I didn't just write the journal, I lived it. My guy and I worked the journal almost as much as we binged Netflix. By the sixth snowstorm of that winter, he looked at me after shoveling his car out for work again and said, "Let's go. We already know what we want." And just like that, we packed up and moved to a sunny northeast Florida beach, because waiting only works for so long. Eventually, something inside you stirs, and if you listen to it, it'll lead you exactly where you need to go next. Build a life so rooted in what matters that even the bad storms can't shake it. The beach house and the biopsy, how building the life I wanted helped me survive the one I didn't choose. There we were, pinching ourselves. We did it. Dream life status activated. We moved to the beach. We were sipping coffee on the porch, looking at palm trees, smelling that soul-cleansing salt air. Yes, we were here. At the same time, I was quietly making changes. I had been looking for more freelance work, preparing to shift from running my coaching group, ready for something new. I wasn't sure what was next, but I felt it coming. A soft landing after years of giving so much during a confusing time. Then, just a few months in, I found myself at a yoga studio my daughter had begged me to try. She was living in Florida, too, at the time. During class, somewhere between breathwork and upward dog, something in my chest popped. It felt like my lung collapsed, but I shook it off and finished the class anyway. Because of course I did. The next day, lounging on the couch, watching a Ryan Reynolds movie, I felt it. Same spot, a lump. Cue the medical maze, a misdiagnosis. A doctor who inexplicably and disgustingly grabbed my ass when he hugged me goodbye. And then, the real diagnosis. Stage 3, breast cancer. Since we had set up in Northeast Florida, I knew I wanted to get care at Mayo Clinic. It was stressful, I could have unraveled. But instead, something else clicked into place. Just after the move, I had reconnected with a former client I'd worked with on their Pinterest strategy. She happened to live in the area, and now that her company was growing, she had a spot open on her team and welcomed me aboard. It was a food brand I genuinely believed in, who aligned perfectly with the Health Coach Kel version of my work. I jumped in, grateful and ready for it all. I had a cancer diagnosis, a salary, and a world-class medical team. If I had to walk through a storm, this was the way I wanted to walk through it. Surrounded by consistent, aligned work, like-minded people, and a purpose that made me feel alive, not sick. This season became the litmus test of my life. It tested everything I had ever believed or taught, all the business skills I'd gathered over the years, put to work, all the food theories and healing philosophies I'd studied and preached. Now was the time to prove them. This wasn't a chapter I wanted, but it was a chapter I had prepared for. And when I tell you that job helped me get through cancer treatment successfully, I'm not being dramatic. I threw myself into it, fully. Fiercely. It gave me structure, credibility, and a team who believed in its mission as much as I did. But true to form, I started doing too much. Again, because I could. Because I was good at it. What's the saying? Just because you can wear all the hats? Then came the retreat. A marketing retreat meant to energize and align our small two-person team hit me like a truth bomb ton of bricks. It was my second wake-up call. Because cancer should have been enough, right? But this was different. This wasn't about survival. This was about choice. I was a marketer. I was damn good at it too. I was also a creator, a coach, a woman with her own rhythm and her own voice. I needed to start building a business that made space for all of me again and something that was mine. If cancer taught me anything, it's this. The life you build on purpose doesn't just carry you through the good stuff. It is what helps you survive the unthinkable. So, when I tell you to eat like you matter, dream like it's your birthright, and do the work that lights you up, please know, I'm not just saying that to inspire you. I'm saying it because I've lived it. And I'm still here building it, one brave choice at a time. The Eat, Dream, Do journal, previously known as My Dream Life Journal, was born from these exact moments, designed to be a tool to help you map your dreams, name what matters, and take steps toward it. Grab your own copy at eatdreamdo.com. No fluff, just space, structure, and the prompts to help you finally say what you want. And go after it. Look at you. You've stopped waiting for someday. You're putting your self-care and health first. You're asking yourself the hard questions. You're imagining a life that feels more you, not just a life you settled for, but the one you were born to live. You know what you want? At least enough to start. And now comes the hard part, the part that's so easy to quit on. How do you turn journal pages and daydreams into a life you can wake up to every day? I'm so glad you asked, because that's where the next part of this journey begins. Part 3, do. Let's get doing. Dreaming opens the door, doing walks you through it. Part 3, do. Your life, your way. This is where most people stop. They close the book, they promise to come back to it. They stay in the dreaming, but not you. You're in part 3, do, the place where clarity meets movement. The place where we do the work, not someday. Not after one more plan or one more perfect moment. Now. You don't need a 5-year plan. You don't need to know every step ahead. But you do need one thing. Aligned action. Action that matches the life you say you want. Action that builds trust with yourself. Action that tells your brain, we're safe, we're serious, we're doing this. Whether your dream is a business, a healthier home, more freedom, more peace, a schedule you control, or a life you love waking up to. Doing is the bridge between vision and reality. And it starts with one question, what do you really want to do? Let's find out. What is your gift? It's okay, I'll wait while you think about that for a minute, friend. Can I call you friend? We've made it this far together in the Eat, Dream, Do guide, and it feels like we're doing this together. Here's where you probably expect me to say the thing you've heard 100 times. You can't do everything, so just focus on the one thing pulling at you most. Blah, blah, blah. While there's some truth buried in that overrated advice, here's what I've learned. It's misaligned for most women today. Why? Because we're not just juggling a list of potential passions and lofty dreams. We're juggling families and maybe businesses too, aging parents, demanding jobs, unpaid labor, chronic fatigue, 1,000 tabs open in our brains, all while trying to be grateful and do it all. The idea of just pick one thing sounds nice in theory, but we don't get to hit pause on life to go chase our dream full time. We don't always have the clarity or the luxury to know what the one thing is. We've had to shapeshift so many times to keep everything else going, we've forgotten what's even ours anymore. Let's be real, we're not trying to be known for one thing. We want a life that fits the fullness of who we are. Some days our gift is creative genius. Other days it's holding emotional space for our kids without losing our minds. Or knowing how to fix a dinner out of 4 random ingredients and no time. Or seeing patterns in people and ideas that no one else notices. Or mentoring a friend. We've been told we must shrink it down to be marketable. Package it up in a niche. Make it easier for people to understand. Your gift is not a tagline. It's a way you move through the world. It's the energy that's uniquely yours. It shows up in how you solve problems, how you love, how you light things up, even when you don't realize you're doing it. No, I don't believe you need to pick just one thing to focus on. I believe you need to get honest about what's already inside you and go from there. Seek freedom. Give freely. Let it be easy. From the words of Danielle Laporte herself, that's how I wanted to feel as I approached my life and business dreams. Many of us get stuck in the how and try 1,000 different ways to solve it. Until another mentor, James Wedmore, said something that stopped me in my tracks. Let me paraphrase how I interpreted it. Lead into your gift. It's yours for a reason. And it's okay if it feels easy. Before you figure out how to do the do and bring your dream life to life, what's your gift? And no, you don't have to pick just one. You can, and I believe you should, build a life around your gifts. Go ahead, list them. Here's a few prompts to help you. Gift discovery prompts. 1, what do people always come to you for? Not what you think you're good at, what they already see in you. 2, what feels easy for you, but hard for other people? You brush it off, they're in awe. 3, what could you talk about for hours and still have more to say? Topics, ideas, stories, or obsessions that light you up. 4, where do you lose track of time in a good way? That's not distraction, that's alignment. 5, what feels like you when you're not trying to impress anyone? Hint, that's probably your zone of genius. If you're still not sure, ask someone who knows you well. What do you think I'm really good at that I might not even see? Their answer might surprise you. Your zone of genius. Let's make one thing clear. Just because something feels easy doesn't mean it isn't valuable. In fact, that's usually the exact sign you're sitting in your zone of genius. You know that thing you can do half asleep, one hand tied behind your back while helping someone else at the same time? The thing that lights you up and leaves other people saying, "Wait, how did you just do that?" But because it feels natural to you, you downplay it, You assume it's not special because it doesn't feel like a struggle. We've been taught to believe that if it doesn't come with hustle, sweat, and sacrifice, it can't possibly count as a worthy skill. That's a lie. Your zone of genius is the space where your natural ability meets your truest joy. When you operate from this place, everything flows easier, not because life gets easier, but because you're not fighting yourself anymore. Here's the big point. Your zone of genius is not just what you're good at, it's what you're meant to do. It's where you make the biggest impact without burning out. It's your shortcut to alignment, to energy, to creating a life that works. And once you name it, you start building your dream life around it. You don't have to chase someone else's path. Build a path that's made for you. Finding your zone of genius. In his book, The Big Leap, Gay Hendricks introduces a powerful framework that changed the way we think about work, purpose, and energy. He calls it the zone of genius. Once you understand it, you'll never look at your to-do list life the same way again. Hendricks describes four zones we operate in. You've probably spent time in all of them, but only one of them is where your most aligned, energized, and fulfilling life begins. Let's break it down. Eat, dream, do style. Zone of incompetence. This drains me and I'm not even good at it. What tasks make you instantly tired or anxious? What are you doing only because you think you should? Zone of competence. I can do this, but so can anyone else. What are you capable of but bored by? What do you keep on your plate just because it's manageable? Zone of excellence. I'm really good at this, but it's not feeding me anymore. What are you known for that no longer excites you? Where are you succeeding, but slowly burning out? Zone of genius. This is what I'm built for. What lights you up and leaves you more energized, not less? What could you do for hours without needing a break or a reward? What do others find remarkable that feels natural to you? In your zone of genius, life flows. Gay Hendricks. It's where your unique abilities and deepest passions meet. And it's where you belong. Spend most of your time in your zone of excellence and you'll be impressive. Spend most of your time in your zone of genius and you'll be free. What's your zone of genius? Take a deep breath. Honestly answer these with what feels most true right now. 1. When do I feel most energized and myself, where I'm not trying to be anything but me? 2. What do people thank me for again and again without me even trying that hard? 3. What part of me have I downplayed, ignored, or dismissed because it felt too easy? 4. If I followed that easy thing, where might it lead? Describe the life, the work, and the feeling. Your gift. Your terms. You named your gifts. Not the surface level stuff people list on resumes. The part of you that's been quietly leading you, nudging you, showing up when you're in flow, even if you didn't have words for it until now. That's big. That's life changing. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you name it, you start to notice it everywhere. And once you trust it, it starts to shape how you move through the world. Pause. Breathe in and out. You just took a step most people avoid their entire lives. So seriously, take a second and feel that. You're not just going through this book. You're showing up for your real life. Now I have one more big question for you. Is yours a gift you want to monetize? Pause with that for a moment too, because here's what I need you to hear loud and clear. You do not have to turn your gift into a business. Your gift is valuable, no matter how it's used. You don't need to monetize your magic to validate that it matters. Your gift is enough simply because it's yours. At the same time, if you want to explore how your gift could support your dream life financially, creatively, or practically, then let's talk about that. It was once said to me, with a job, there's a ceiling. With a business, there's no ceiling, but there's no floor either. That stuck, but didn't stop this risk-taking Sagittarius. When you decide to turn your gifts and your doerness into a business, there are real risks and real rewards. You step into possibility, but you also step into uncertainty. That's the nature of choosing your own path. My personal goal? To help women create more if they want to show them what's possible so they can make the best choices for their well-being, their dreams, and the life they want to live. You can use your gift for private joy. You can start a simple side hustle. Or you can go all in and build a bold and beautiful business. That choice, it's yours. What if your dream life and your dream business aren't destinations you arrive at? Instead, they're built from pieces you've been collecting all along. The three systems every doer needs. Spoiler, turns out systems aren't just for CEOs. They're for keeping your life on track. Okay, let's get one thing straight right now. This is not about becoming a girl boss. It is not about productivity hacks, hustle culture, or pretending to be a morning person if you're not. It is also not about building a personal brand when what you really want is a peaceful life. This is about tools. Tools that work. Tools that help you make your vision real on your terms. Yes, these three systems come from the world of business, but big surprise, they apply beautifully to real life. Because whether you are building a company, a homeschooling plan, a creative outlet, a tiny house in the woods, or a peaceful routine that feels like freedom, you still need structure. You still need clarity. You still need momentum. To this author, living your dream life means having all these tools in your toolbox. See if you agree. 1. Finding your voice. This is about more than just speaking up. It is about knowing what you really want and saying it out loud with kindness, clarity, honesty, and love. When you find your voice, you stop shrinking. You stop apologizing. You stop waiting for someone else to read your mind. You start communicating clearly and confidently, even when it is uncomfortable. Setting boundaries without guilt. Owning your opinions, ideas, and desires. 2. Building relationships. Women thrive in community and connection. The real kind. The magnetic kind. The kind where people trust you, support you, and genuinely want to see you win. Because while you can do hard things, your dreams were never meant to thrive in isolation. Whether you are launching a new offer or simply trying to be seen in your own family, building quality relationships matter. You learn how to attract people who get you, clients, collaborators, friends, create authentic winning connections, build community, support, and real momentum around mutual goals. 3. Know how to get what you want. This is not about being manipulative. It is about being clear about what you want, clear about how to ask for it, clear about what support you need to move toward it. This looks like defining goals that are yours, selling your ideas, whether you are pitching a product, a road trip, or a better bedtime, creating systems of support so you are not doing it all alone. These systems are about becoming more of yourself with structure, with support, and with a plan that feels like you. Do you agree? This is the part where you stop waiting and start doing on purpose. I turned my weird skills into a business, how every client call, every detour, and every instinct shaped a business that fits. I bet you're saying, so let me get this straight. I'm supposed to lean into my gift, the thing that comes easy to me, and poof, turn it into my life's work? Sure, Kelly, that sounds adorable. Except, what is my gift? And who even does that? Turns out I do. And you can too. But not because I had a perfect plan or a flashy brand from day one. I did it accidentally by collecting every oddball skill, awkward moment, and career detour until they finally clicked into something that felt like mine. At first, it looked like I was helping clients in random ways. Website here, marketing there, a dash of social media support, a sprinkle of Pinterest help. Health coaching was always in the mix, even if I wasn't sure where it fit. I attracted clients whose pattern was always the same. Smart, passionate women showing up exhausted, skipping lunch, missing joy, living on fumes, always talking to me about food, business theories, wondering what I thought about current trends. Women who were trying to be everything to everyone, while, quite often, putting themselves and their healthy habits dead last. Sound familiar? I kept seeing it over and over again, so I asked the question that pulled every thread of my experiences together. Why are we building dream lives on empty tanks? If food is our fuel, why is it at the bottom of our to-do list, treated like a reward instead of a requirement? And how do we change that? Yes, start with the end in mind. Let's eat first. Eat, dream, do wasn't just a catchy phrase I scribbled in a notebook. It was the answer to everything I had witnessed, learned, and lived. I realized I'd been cooking real food and using it as medicine, motivation, and momentum. I was business coaching without calling it coaching, marketing based on intuition and experience, my inner voice leading the way, and holding space for women as they figured out their next move while quietly crafting my own. Turns out this swirl of weird, wonderful, not sure where this fits stuff was my gift. Eventually, I stopped trying to make it make sense to everyone else. Instead, I built a business that made sense to me, one that let me show up fully as I am. A place that gives women what they need to take care of themselves and their dreams. That finally brought my health, creativity, coaching, and marketing together in one place. Eat, dream, do is not just a name. It's a permission slip. For me. For you. For every woman who's ever wondered if her weird mix of talents was enough. Spoiler, it is. All the things you've done. All the pivots, patterns, detours, and downloads. They weren't wasted, they were weaving. And now, the threads are ready to be pulled together into something only you can create. Ask yourself this: how could the threads of my gifts weave into a life I genuinely love to live? No pressure to figure it all out now. Just let the ideas simmer. Because the life, the impact, the freedom, the thing you've been circling, it's not out there somewhere. It's already inside you. Fueling and funding your dream life. You've discovered your gift. You've explored your dreams. You're fueling your life with real food. You've realized you want more than just personal wellness. You want to share what's inside you on a bigger scale. You want your gift to be your life's work, to fund the life you want to live, to give back, earn well, and still feel like yourself at the end of the day. If that's you, then let me say this now clearly and kindly. If you want to turn your gift into a business, you're going to need to treat it like one. That doesn't mean you need to turn into a sales robot. It doesn't mean you need to learn TikTok dances or send cringe cold DMs. It means you need structure, systems, support, and a way to show the world what you do and how you help. Those three systems every doer needs. Let's look at how they literally become the foundation of your business. 1. Finding your voice helps you create content and differentiation. In business, your voice is your unique brand. It's how people connect with you, trust you, and remember you. Whether you're posting online, talking to a potential client, or sharing your story, this is what sets you apart. It is not about shouting louder. It is about being clearer and consistent and undeniably you. When you find your voice, you stop competing because no one can copy your story, your vibe, or your way of delivering your magic. 2, building relationships help you create a network of audiences, clients, and community. Your business is built with real people who feel connected to you. People, the right people, who believe in what you do, who trust you to guide them, who want to hear from you again. Building relationships in business means creating trust through giving consistent value, nurturing a community who resonates with your message, and learning how to listen, connect, and serve so they stick around. 3, knowing how to get what you want helps you create sales and marketing. Sales are simply the process of giving someone what they already want. And marketing? It is how you show them you understand their problem and have a solution that works. No sleaze, no fake urgency. Just clarity, confidence, and connection. If you want to make money doing what you love, you need to know who you help, how you help them, and how to invite them into the transformation. You do not need to be an expert from the start, but if you want your gifts to fund your life, these three systems are the blueprint you need to work to help your dreams take root. One choice at a time. One aligned action at a time. You've already taken the biggest step. You're here. You're clear. And you're not playing small anymore. You've done the hard part. That's showing up. Now keep going. Conclusion. Eat, dream, do is not a cute tagline. It is a framework for a life that works. It is about giving your body what it needs so your mind and heart can follow. It is about making space for your soul, then actually doing something with it. This is the Eat, Dream, Do guide. Take a moment. Look at where you are right now. You started with a fridge full of confusion and a to-do list longer than your grocery receipt. Maybe you were tired, maybe even disconnected, but something in you cracked open when you read these words. You matter, and food is how you feed her. You kept reading. You didn't put it down. You didn't walk away. You stayed to the end. That says something, because even if you haven't made a single change yet, something inside you has started to shift. Maybe it was a spark of what if. Maybe it was a moment of wait, that's me. Maybe it was the quiet truth that whispered, there's a better way, and I'm ready to find it. You're waking up to this new way of living. Once you start seeing things differently, you can never quite go back to sleep. Eat, dream, do is a mindset. It's a sequence, a system, a strategy, one that starts with you. One that starts with fuel. You cannot dream on an empty tank. When you begin to feed yourself well, on purpose, you clear the path and awaken your brain, your nervous system, and your whole self. For clarity, for courage, for creativity, you stop reacting to life. You start choosing one. And once you start choosing, you begin to remember what you want. You begin to believe it is possible. You begin to move, not in circles, but forward. Let's recap. Eat. You feed your body like someone who matters. Dream. You give yourself permission to want what you really want. Do. You build systems that make it all possible. The eat, dream, do way. It is not perfect. It is not linear, but it is yours and it works. Keep choosing you. You were born to do big things, but first you need to eat. Every time you think about what's for dinner, what's next in your life, or what's possible for your future, do it like someone who's ready to feel good living it. Because you are. This isn't about becoming someone new. It's about coming home to the person you've always been. This is just the beginning. You've made it this far, which tells me something about you. You're not here to survive on autopilot. You're here to wake up, to feel good again, to feed your body like it matters, because it does. Because you do. You're here to remember what it feels like to be clear, grounded, alive. To make meals that carry you forward, not hold you back. To finally say, this is my body, my life, and I get to choose what fuels it. And you don't have to do it alone. Like Braveheart storming the hill, this journey takes heart, and it takes a village. That's why I created something just for us. Welcome to the Eat, Dream, Do Club. It's where like-minded women gather to eat real food without shame or stress, share tools, wins, and real-life questions, support one another in building a life they want to wake up for. It's about rhythm. It's about your way. And most of all, it's about not doing it alone anymore. If you're ready to fuel the life you want to live, this is where you start walking with others who get it. You've come this far. The path is yours. But it doesn't have to be traveled solo. Go to eatdreamdo.com to join the club. Letter from me to you. Hey friend, if no one has told you lately, I'm proud of you. Not because you changed everything overnight, but because you stayed with this, because you felt something and you let yourself follow it. That takes courage. I know what it's like to question everything. Your health, your purpose, your next move. I also know what it feels like to start building something new even when it feels impossibly small, especially when no one else sees the vision but you. This book was never about handing you all the answers. It was about helping you remember that the answers have always lived inside you. Whether we connect again through the club, a coaching session, or just a whisper in your mind when you're chopping vegetables or dreaming out loud, I'm in your corner. Always. Here's to feeling good. Here's to choosing you. Here's to the dream that's been waiting for you to believe in it again. You got this. With love, Kelly. About the author. Kelly Miller is the founder of Eat, Dream, Do. Part kitchen cheerleader, part mindset mentor, and definitely the friend who'll text you back with what to make for dinner and what to do with your big idea. She spent years turning real food into feel-good fuel and mixing marketing know-how with messy real life to help women stop overthinking, start feeling like themselves again, and build lives and businesses they actually want to wake up to. Kelly and her guy, Ian, live in the green rolling hills of Pennsylvania Dutch country, where there's mountains one way, beaches the other, and farms all around. They left the Florida heat behind to keep fresh food close by. You can find her at eatdreamdo.com or on Instagram at healthcoachkel, sharing kitchen hacks, dreaming out loud, and rooting women on from wherever she's standing. Back cover copy. A guide to feeling good, dreaming big, and actually doing the damn thing. For the woman who's ever stood in front of the fridge wondering, what's for dinner and what the hell am I doing with my life? Welcome. You're home. This isn't another diet book or a productivity plan either. It's a practical guide to rebuilding your energy, reconnecting to what matters, and creating a life that actually works for you. Written by someone who's all too familiar with the burnout recovery rebuild dance more than once, with a spatula in one hand and a dream in the other. Inside, you'll find real talk on the food you eat and how it shapes your life, prompts to help you figure out what you really want, stories that might make you say, yep, that's me, a permission slip to stop waiting and start doing. This book is honest, it's empowering, it's wildly useful, because your life doesn't change by accident. It changes when you decide to show up for yourself, to eat like you matter, to dream like it's allowed, to do the things that bring you back to life. And it all starts with you. Kelly Miller, Eat, Dream, Do.